Hello and welcome to Teen Health Matters. This podcast and associated website is a project of the Howard County Health Department and is designed to connect you, your friends, your parents, and the people who care about you to the resources you need to stay safe, healthy, and happy. My name is Nastasia Santrak, and I'm an intern with the Bureau of Behavioral Health at the Health Department. I'm currently a senior at Appleton High School. Throughout the podcast, we will be exploring the ways in which teens can stay motivated during this pandemic, as well as discussing mental health and how to navigate the college transition process. I'm joined by Alyssa McClure, a fellow intern who will introduce our guest.
Hello, I'm Alyssa McClure. I'm a senior at Long Reach High School, and joining me today are University of Maryland freshmen Zafir Nassim and Stephanie Durr, the Assistant Director of Student Support Services at HCC. Thank you for being with us today. I'm eager to discuss how we as youth can better cope with the chaos of the world around us and gain an informed perspective on how to maneuver the transition to college during COVID-19 and maintain emotional wellness while balancing school, work, financial stress, and social life.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Pleasure to be here.
Again, thank you so much for joining us today. To start off, I know Alyssa will agree with me. Seniors are certainly experiencing the typical emotions associated with the well-known term senioritis. I personally am wishing to skip the next few months and run off in my cap and gown. I'm definitely ready to graduate. However, a lot of anxiety surrounds the need for dedication in current courses and upcoming deadlines. Zafir, what did senioritis look for you? Is the stereotypical anticipation to graduate something you struggled with?
Yeah, I guess I'd say that senioritis was something that I did struggle with quite a bit. Personally, just because towards the latter end of my high school experience, I was involved with a lot of different upperclassmen. And during that time, I was surrounded by seniors who were experiencing senioritis. And, you know, seeing them, you know, really lazy, not really motivated to do what they do, sort of, you know, got on top of me as well. And I also wanted to, you know, sort of exhibit the same symptoms. But granted, I think my senior year also ended in a very different way. Lockdown was kicking in and just getting started, and school load was also very variable. Like, school administrators didn't exactly know how much homework to assign, stuff like that. So I think there was definitely a different cool down during my senior year. But in terms of coping with senioritis, I always reminded myself of what the end goal is: to finish high school strong and, you know, graduate through the virtual, you know, graduation stage with pride and happiness that, you know, I made it through all these different hurdles. And I think that's like one of the main things that I would advise you guys to do, is to definitely maintain a goal in your mind, keep yourself aligned on it. And I think that will help you guys a lot when it comes to coping with senioritis.
Definitely. I can definitely relate to that. Senioritis is contagious for sure. I see people, they just going out, doing things, and I'm stuck in here doing my work. And it's just, there's a lot of FOMO, I guess you could say. And for me, senioritis looks like a lack of motivation to get my work done. And I keep feeling as though like I'm done with high school, like I'm almost to the finish line, but we're really not. The thing that keeps me going is knowing that I have to keep up my GPA, especially for the end of year reports that go out to colleges, because they can take like their decision back. And that's a big factor in what keeps me going. It's so hard to keep up with the assignments when you feel burnt out and ready to leave. And it's especially tempting to hang out with friends when you might not see them as much next year. And especially like you said with COVID, like at the end of your senior year, you had like, it dropped off. But with us, COVID was more like in the beginning. And not that it's over, but we're about to go back into hybrid. And I think that's gonna help keep us motivated a little bit. Zafir, do you have any tips that you could give to current seniors like Nastasia and I?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, in addition to, you know, keeping your end goal in mind, I think it's also very important to practice selective attention. I think you mentioned it a little bit earlier that you tend to get influenced by your different classmates around you. Some people don't exactly take their end of the year super seriously. They tend to slack off. Some don't even come to classes, right? But I think it's really important to understand that, you know, it is your responsibility at the end of the day to maintain your GPA. It is your responsibility to maintain, you know, your standing in the class. And a lot of people might sacrifice that for short-term happiness or pleasure, whatever it may be. I think it's really important, again, to just make sure that you stick on it. In terms of dealing with senioritis, you know, in addition to selective attention or whatnot, is to surround yourself with peers that are also like-minded in terms of finishing the end of the year strong. I think that's one thing that I did throughout my senior year, surround myself with students that I know are very focused in their classes. They pay attention. They want to end the school year strong. And those are the kinds of people that I surrounded myself with. And I know it can be a little difficult since we are in a virtual environment, but I'm pretty sure you guys can, you know, do your own like little virtual study groups or whatnot. And I think, you know, just having those different social groups around you will keep you through it.
In regards to social groups, I definitely relate to trying to find a balance between going out and having a good time on the weekend, but also remaining motivated during a weekday. And so definitely having an encouraging peer group is beneficial. My friends and I, we sometimes like to remind each other of deadlines, or a lot of seniors right now are keeping up with mid-year report deadlines, making sure that their grades are up to scale and what they want to appear on college transcripts. So that is definitely something that has been stressing me out, because due to senioritis, I'm feeling this need to chill and relax and try to transition into summer, when in reality, the end of the semester is not here yet. And there's a lot of stuff I need to keep up with and do. So that is certainly something students should keep in mind. Mister, how do the universities weigh the grades coming in towards the end of the year? Like, what should students consider?
So I definitely agree with the fear in regards to making sure that you finish strong, because your last semester of high school grades plays a role in the placement in your freshman classes. So if you lag off at the end your high school senior year, when you come into college, you're going to be placed in developmental classes, or you may be placed in an 099 class that may not necessarily count towards graduation, because you still will have to take that one-on-one class, that 100 level class to count towards graduation. So I think that the biggest way that we incorporate these grades is placement, like knowing where to place you in order to get you the best results. So if you have a C or a D in math, we won't put you in a math 115 or a math, or even maybe a math 101. We may put you in a developmental math to prepare you for math 101. You also have the option, because we know that some people may have gone through certain things. Some students may have gone through certain things. So we give you the option of testing in to certain classes as well. So if you may have had a rough last semester, you may have some personal issues or something that may have happened that took your focus a bit, you still have the opportunity to test into those 100 level classes just to confirm or show that you can handle that level of work. So it definitely plays a role, because if you have a goal to finish in 4 years, or you're going into a particular major, especially if you're going into like STEM, math, science, those things are really important. So if you want to be a biology major or a nursing major, they're going to be looking at those math and science grades in high school to know where to place you in college to begin that journey to getting that degree.
From a student services perspective, what have you seen is a pattern of how students remain motivated? What is the best way for us to finish the year strong?
So I like to think of it as, what do you want your life to look like? You know, and I also want to started with saying that college may not be for everyone. And that's the beauty of having the option of going to a 2-year just, you know, to get an associate's or to get a trade, or going to a 4-year to get a degree and taking that on to higher your education. But the end goal is always so important, and what you want your life to look like and the plans that you have for yourself is so important in regards to motivation. So if you have a plan, I think you should start there. Like, what is your plan? Do you have a plan after high school? And I feel like based upon what that plan is, that will drive your motivation. So if you have a plan to be an entrepreneur, you may not be as motivated or invested in college life. You may be more so motivated in workshops, seminars to help you catapult your business, think tank opportunities, or opportunities where you can get inside in front of investors. So what your plan is and what your end goal is plays a role in how you stay motivated. And once you identify what your plan is, then the motivation will follow after that. So once you decide what your end goal is, you create a plan and you use motivating factors such as, what do I want the life to be like for my children? What type of legacy do I want to leave? You know, what kind of name do I want to make to myself? What industries would I like to enter? And what will I need to
be able to show up as my full self in those industries. So I think that's the best type of motivation, is having an idea of what type of life you want to live and the things that you want for your life.
Definitely. That's some great insight. And I know that a lot of people, some people that I know, they really just, they don't have that direction in their life. Like, they are very unsure of what they want to do. And especially like with COVID on top of all that, but it's coming and being creative. And I can definitely relate to the days blending together and everyone being the same. Personally, I try to break up the day by going on a walk in between meetings and running to grab a quick coffee. Another thing that helps me stay motivated is like a to-do list and like having all my things organized. It's not as like impactful and powerful as like setting goals and like looking that far into the future for sure, but it just keeps me going like day to day. And the satisfaction of crossing something off of a list helps me feel more accomplished and productive. On top of that, it allows me to stay organized, and that's definitely something I struggle with.
This is certainly all important information. Keeping up with deadlines and college materials can be really stressful. A way that I remain motivated and organized is by setting reminders on my phone throughout the day. So when I'm stressed or worried about something, I see a little notification pop up, whether it's a word of encouragement or a reminder to finish that essay. Definitely keeps me mentally organized. I also keep up with a physical planner on my desk, and I make to-do lists, and I'm a visual person, so seeing all of these things throughout my day really reminds me to maintain an organized mentality and also keep up with everything that I need to do. What are some ways that you, Zafir, remain organized and motivated?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I share a lot of the different organization techniques that you mentioned. I do planners, I do scheduling, stuff like that. Personally, you know, going into college life, I started using more Google Calendar just to, you know, see all my different things, whether it's regarding to work or school, class timing, I have it all there. I also think it's really important to understand, you know, how to get into a very productive flow. I think to minimize stress when it comes to all the different things that you have to tackle in a day, it's really important to understand how you can get into that productive, I guess, mood so that you can, you know, power through everything else that you need to do for the day and just relax at the end of the day. That's sort of something that I try to do. So what I do is I try to have something very strict schedule up in the morning. So every day at 6 a.m., I personally tell myself I need to go and run outside for like an hour or whatnot. That's what I do. That's what gets me up in the morning. And that's what, you know, sparks my productivity. And then from there, I immediately go to tackle out my homework and all the different tasks I have to do. And I think that keeps me very organized. And sometimes, you know, if I'm lagging behind or I'm not sure, and if I have my phone next to me and I get distracted, I have a timer right next to the work that I'm doing to tell me, oh, my time's running out to get this specific task done. And that really keeps the momentum going and allows me to stay organized and stay focused and get all my stuff done so that by the end of the day, I have enough time to just relax and do whatever else I want.
Yeah, that's really helpful. I know that like blocking out times like that, it really keeps everything organized. And for me, as I mentioned before, I keep like a running to-do list. Personally, I have like a Google Doc with the different days of the weeks set up with which meetings are on which days and like which important deadlines are coming up. And under that, I keep a list for each class of what assignments that need to be completed. And when we had school in person, which now seems like forever ago, I would keep like a physical agenda, as you guys have mentioned. And all the tasks are online now. So I decided to like put it in my phone when my meetings are and when my meetings will start, sorry, and hop on the computer just in case I'm like doing something else. I'll set like an alarm or something. For all of my documents, I used to struggle trying to find like different worksheets like within my Google Drive. So I had to like set up folders and whatnot. So I never lose a worksheet for a project or a class.
To combat senioritis, I think organization is probably the most important thing, because if you're constantly wishing for time off, that can be definitely distracting. And especially when, you know, we keep mentioning that we are still in school and we still have a lot of important deadlines, being organized, like Alyssa, those were brilliant examples of how you remain organize in a virtual setting, which is something students have not always had the skills to do. So adaptation to this sort of virtual organizational setting is definitely something to point out. Another way that I remain motivated is actually by making future summer plans and having aspirations for the months to come. And just having something to look forward to is really encouraging because I feel like that's my light at the end of the tunnel, my reward for doing all the hard work. It can be encouraging to view this as a final stretch in which the end will be worth it. And focusing on the semester can seem just one more step to that point.
For sure. And with that final stretch that you mentioned, it comes preparation for the next chapter of our lives and the transition to college. One thing I'm a little worried about is how to stay academically and socially engaged as we get ready for the big move to college. So like over the summer, Zafir, what did you do last year that helped you prepare for college?
That's a great question. So first off, I definitely relaxed a bit. I think, you know, after 2 weeks or so, I kind of got sick of relaxing and I wanted something to do. I think it's, you know, important to take your time off. You deserved it. You finished high school, 4 years, done, right? But then it's also important to start to build different habits and gain other skills that will definitely help you in college. And personally, I'm a first year when it comes to college. My parents, you know, they're immigrants, so they came here from a different country. They don't know much about the whole different college experience. So what I did specifically was I went to HCC actually and did some extra credits just to get a feel for how college classes work. And I think that experience was really beneficial to me because I understood, you know, the different ways to take notes and how study habits are very different in college compared to in high school. My advice is that you definitely spend a good portion of your summer understanding and building different study habits that work best for you. And that way, you know, once you actually jump into the, you know, into the ocean of Hull College, you'll be familiar with it and, you know, will help you go through things much easier. But yeah, that's majority of what I did. I guess throughout the summer, again, it's important to take breaks. Also, another thing is with college, you have the ability to join different clubs and different organizations before you actually formally enroll. So you can definitely, you know, just reach out to different organizations or student groups that you're interested in. And that way you can sort of kind of build more of a social net where you get to learn about more people, what their interests are, see if they align with yours. And I think that's very helpful in terms of building, you know, your different social connections. I think connections in college is very important to forge. And without them, it's really hard for you to really advance career-wise or even as a student.
Summer is definitely an opportunity in which we can learn how to balance the academic aspect, but also the social aspect. And with that, there is also the mental health aspect. So, Mr., speaking from an academic perspective, as well as the mental health resources you are professionally experienced in, how do students learn to balance all of these factors during college?
Yeah, I think that what Zafir did is a really good thing. And it's something that I wish I would have done before I went straight into college, is maybe take a few courses at a community college, get a feel for the context of the courses and seeing how I would adapt to them. So I think that's a great way to navigate it. I also feel like there is a lot of great things that can come out of taking a gap year or even like a gap semester. So even after you graduate, if you don't go straight into school in the fall, or you may start in January. I think that's a great way to give students some time just to decompress, to reflect, give them some time to really think about what they want to do before they make that commitment and investment into college, because essentially college is an investment. If you don't get a full ride scholarship, or you don't have any financial assistance and you're paying out of pocket, or you're getting federal loans and Pell Grants, that's a self-investment. So I think that taking a gap year would be very beneficial to mental health, because you don't feel as stressed going into college. You feel like you have a better understanding as to what you want to do, how you want to navigate it, and how you want things to play out for you. I also feel like being true about what your passion is a good way to reduce stress, because like Zafir stated, sometimes we take on the dreams of our parents and we want to make them proud so much that we go for what we think what will be acceptable in their sight. So I think that taking some time to really figure out what our passion is would be a way to reduce stress and anxiety, because you don't feel as pressured to hurry up and select a major just to say that I'm in college and I'm majoring in this, and this statistically says, or in the world it says, it makes a lot of money, so I'm going to do this so I can be wealthy. But you're stressed, you're overwhelmed, you're not really producing well in classes, you may have some sense of, you know, imposter syndrome, like you're not even really supposed to be here or you don't want to be there. The environment may not be conducive to who you are as a person. So taking time to take all those things in consideration would be a great way to go into college with a clearer mental about what you want to do. And it'll help you achieve your goals better because you're more confident in the direction in which you want to go.
As a way to remain productive during the summer, I am continuing working at my part-time job at a grocery store. And not only is this a way for me to be active, but also gain skills on financial independence. I think one of the best ways to retain financial responsibility is to get working experience before college. As we are transitioning from the summertime into college, what are some working experiences students can aspire to gain in college? And how is the job incorporated into everyday college life, Mr.?
Yeah, so the first stream of experience that I believe college students will get is just responsibility, like being a responsible person. The fact that you have gone to college and completed it shows that you know how to complete a task. You know how to stand the test of time and for a long period of time. So employers can look at you and say, I know at least I can have this candidate for 4 years. I know they can stay committed to something for 4 years. So being committed and finishing through, whether that be a 2 or 4 year degree, is work experience, organization skills. Employers want to know that they're hiring someone who is organized, that they can depend on that person to do the task and complete the task efficiently. Getting good grades and being able to study things and interpret things well is great work experience because that shows that anything can be placed in front of you and you will be able to dissect it and apply your own personal knowledge to benefit the company or the organization. I also believe like time management, being on time for class, being on time to meetings, that also shows you're responsible and you will show up and get the job done. Aside from that, participating in organizations, being involved on campus shows that you not only know how to get the work done, but you also have a service mindset. You know how to do things and run a meeting. So if your boss is out for the week, they can ask you, well, you know the Roberts Rule of Order because you're an SGA in college. Can you run this meeting for me? Take good notes because you're a secretary on the podcast club. So I know that you'll be able to take efficient notes. So being involved in organizations is also a great way to gain experience because if you're in school for 4 years and your main focus is school, you need to learn how to finesse the system. Like learn a way to make your collegiate experience work for you. If you're investing your time, your money, your energy, when you leave, although you may not have the actual work experience, you need to be involved in things to where you can pull those soft skills from each thing that you participated in to market yourself in a way to say, I may have not worked a 9-to-5 while I was in college. However, I participated in these things and this is what I gained. So student involvement on campus is also a great way to get work experience.
That's a great point. I feel like there is sometimes a pressure to start a job in college so that you're able to balance finances, but also pay for a bunch of things, which can be the case, but definitely being involved in organizations and participating in a bunch of opportunities definitely shows that you can handle the workload. Safir, do any of your friends have a job in college right now? Do you? And could this be beneficial for a college student struggling with finances? And have you seen positive effects of all this?
Yeah, that's a great question. Again, I think to begin, I'm actually going to add on a little bit to what Ms. Durr said earlier, that utilize, you know, the different jobs that you might want to pursue as experience, doubling with, you know, the potential career that you want to pursue. So like for me personally, I've been working a job since about 10th grade in high school with a nonprofit organization. So I got to learn a lot about, you know, leadership management, how to manage a team, stuff like that. And that, you know, in turn benefit me in terms of, you know, understanding how to manage different projects, because like I'm also planning on pursuing business management at some point during my college career. So that, you know, experience will help me get into different programs within that business major or whatnot. In terms of, you know, just raising finances in general, I also started investing once I hit 18, started trying to, you know, build generational wealth. And definitely I would advise, you know, you guys to reach out to your parents or, you know, their CPAs or whatnot to understand, you know, how you guys can, you know, use some of the fundings that you get from your different jobs and such to, you know, finance, you know, generational wealth and potentially pay for, you know, your master's education or PhD education as well. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, jobs are very good in terms of giving you a lot of different experiences. I personally recommended, like a lot of my friends, to pursue internships specifically because they are paid. I think that if you're going to lend your time out to somebody to provide them some value, that they should also give you some monetary value back as well. Especially, you know, if it's something pertaining to a potential career that you want. So for example, I have a friend that wants to go into accounting and, you know, hedge fund management. I was like, hey, I found this like cool opportunity on LinkedIn. I think you should definitely apply for it. So now he's working as an intern at Morgan Stanley. He's getting paid for it. And not only does it, you know, he get money to fund his education, but he also gets the value of experience of, you know, managing different funds and stuff like that.
Those are definitely some great ideas. I think paid and unpaid internships can certainly give students a lot of work experience, but also a sort of drive in the career that they want to go into. This is really useful advice, and I think we can all take note of this. Now, as students are engaging in these various activities, we can all acknowledge that there is an underlying anxiety that goes hand in hand with all these experiences. I experience an expectation to be put together and having the next few years mentally planned out, which I don't always feel I have everything planned out. With all of the obligations mentioned, it certainly becomes overwhelming. Is this something you all experience? And Mr. and Zafir, you can give a professional experience and a personal experience.
Yeah, I think I can speak to that a bit. I think it's definitely very stressful to think about the future. I think a lot of us sort of kind of avoid that whole conversation or even just having to think about it. But at the end of the day, I think it's really important to realize that that is something that's just a fact of life. You got to get things sorted out. One of the most valuable things I learned from a mentor of mine is that he told me to create a vision board towards the end of high school. Creating a vision board allows you to visualize the different aspirations, your different passions, what you're interested in, what you're not, what things you enjoy, and really bring that all together to formulate a potential career path. And I'm pretty sure, you know, different college counselors and stuff like that do something very similar. But that's something that I did. And I think that helped me set my sights on specifically what I want to do. So my potential career path is rather interesting. I want to go into, you know, creating sort of a mental health care system, you know, something like that doesn't exactly exist in any shape or form. And, you know, I think that that's something very interesting to, you know, potentially build. You know, my internship at the Howard County Health Department exposed me to all the different means of how you can deal with, you know, coping with mental health, how you can provide different mental health services and such. Coupling that experience with my interest, you know, in business management, I'm really interested in financing and how, you know, different companies and organizations are built and how they're able to scale. Combining both of those experiences and combining both of those passions and interests to forge your own sort of career path, I think really helped me. And now, you know, I definitely know where I want to go and all the different opportunities that I want to pinpoint and such. I'm pretty sure a lot of people don't have that figured out, but, you know, it's important to get that figured out as soon as possible. And if you do need help with that, definitely reach out to an adult that you know that's close to you. Reach out to your college counselors. They're always there to help you. And even your high school counselors. You know, if you build a really good relationship with your high school counselors, I'm pretty sure they'll be willing to help you along the way as well.
For sure. I know, like you said, a lot of people don't have that planned out. And I try to have that mindset of like having everything planned out. But sometimes I just like look back on it and I think, did I make the right choice? Am I going to the right place? Is this right for me? And especially with COVID, we didn't get to visit any of the colleges. And I recently committed to Ohio State. And recently I've also been like thinking a lot about it, like, do I really want to go there? Like, I've never visited it. Is it going to be like the right place for me? So there's a lot of like anxiety over like the future, but I think it's all going to work out in the end.
Thank you very much, Zafir, Mr. and Alyssa, for being a part of this. And thank you to the Dragon Digital Radio team for making this all possible. There are so many resources available and people to help during this tough transition time. For those going to college, it's right around the corner. However, you are not alone in this. So many of us relate to the stress and anxieties associated with the college application process, awaiting decisions, and planning for the future.
If you or anyone you know is struggling, please do not hesitate to contact Grassroots Crisis Intervention to speak with a crisis counselor about what they're going through. That number is 410-531-6677. Additionally, on the Bureau of Behavioral Health website, we have a youth directory with adolescent-specific resources, as well as contact information for the Behavioral Health Navigation. which can assist families in locating professional help if they're interested. Thank you everyone again, and stay posted for program and podcast updates on the Teen Health Matters website.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.
The Bader Lecture at HCC hosts author Nana Kwame Erje Brenya on Thursday, March 4th at noon. Join in on the live Q&A following a keynote and conversation with fellow author Tope Falarin. RSVP today for this exciting virtual event at howardcc.com/Bader Lecture.